Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It is your Sports Bros Radio Man. I'm Isaac. Hello. Big Six right over there.
Right here.
Look at him. And Schultzy is here filling in admirably. Yesterday, we labeled him. What did we label him? Because he's Native American and
Schnitzel
German.
Wolf.
Schnitzel Wolf. Yeah.
Schnitzel Wolf.
He is the Schnitzel Wolf.
He is also a part-time firefighter. He is a part-time radio producer.
Aviation expert.
That's right.
And heightener as well. As no one believes that he is indeed 5'7".
Okay. He says he's 5'9".
I'm going to bring in the measuring tape. This is ridiculous.
Let's go to the tape.
He's not having it.
Yeah, let's just be honest, Schultz.
I think you should measure all of us.
Yeah.
our heights.
That's mildly uncomfortable. Mm. I mean, I guess we could, but that seems like an HR violation. I'm just saying,
we don't Schultz, have HR.
No one's buying. This is a Danny sort of tale. No one's buying the 5'7", buddy. No one.
All right, I'm not trying to like make myself sound grandiose. I've just always thought I was 5'9". But hey, you know what? If I'm 5'7", I'm 5'7".
Tape don't lie.
Tape don't, big eye in the sky.
So anyway, we're partying here. We're having a good time. Talk some sports with you, some baseball.
Staring at Ken Rosenthal's beautiful bow tie.
We love sports and baseball. And there's John Schneider's perfectly manicured beard yet again.
Dude, that thing is
hasn't
on,
changed since
no,
yesterday.
That thing is
that
on
man
point.
Shaves every day.
Well, he's got someone that lines it up for him.
Yeah, and most teams, or at least the good ones, they even with the team have barbers.
No,
so,
I get it, but every day, I mean, sometimes guys come in with a little stubble. No. Sometimes guys
imagine
just
it.
Let it grow out a little bit.
Every day you go to the ballpark and someone's right there, it's probably easy to slap yourself down on the chair.
Maybe he's single.
He's putting it out there.
Yeah, he's putting it out there.
It's on his Tinder profile.
Hey, it's the World
Series. It's kind of a baller move to have a photo of you in the dugout at the World Series on the Tinder profile.
No, you're on the, isn't there an app like?
Yeah, there's the rich people.
Raya, isn't that what it's
called?
Yeah,
it's for like celebrities.
Yeah, he'd be on that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we've got some cool hot topics coming up for you guys out here.
Hot sports talk.
Yeah, we're going to have some hot sports talk. I've got what appears to be the NFL 7 stuff coming up.
The NFL what?
Well, 7 Stuff was an old sub restaurant in Kansas that I liked. It has since.
It's been replaced by Jimmy John's.
I don't know. It's been replaced by, out there, probably like Subway. Some crappy ass.
We don't even get maybe a Jersey Mike's sort of situation there.
I don't know. Seven Stuff was really good, though.
Yeah.
I used to love it.
I love a good loco. Ours is, the one right by me is Philly Blimo's. Nice little sandwich shop. Shout out in the Couve. Do a nice job.
So we'll get to that coming up this hour. And which college team has the best chance to finish unbeaten? A couple news and notes here. The NCAA has stalled their betting rule change. Now, remember, they were going to allow college athletes to bet on pro sports.
Yeah, Greg Sankey of the SEC wrote an impassioned letter telling them to please stop, and a couple other people weren't really happy about it. So they haven't stopped it. They've just paused it.
Well, it was supposed to start November 1st, which is, I don't know if you guys know this, but that's Saturday.
Yes.
And they have now, yeah.
Well, the problem with this is, and it's like anything else in the NCAA, if someone wanted to, they would just sue. The NCAA has no legal right to tell athletes, because they're not employees, what they can and can't do. This is, again, just another instance where the NCAA has had their head up their own ass. They refuse to call someone employees. But if you're not employing someone, you don't get to have contracts that tell them what not to do. The NFL can do this because it's part of the collective bargaining agreement. But this person is just a student. You can't go through and tell a student that they can't gamble on the NFL. So my question is, I don't know if any athlete would be willing to sue the NCAA over this, but if you were an NCAA athlete and you gambled on the NFL and they deemed you ineligible, you would sue and you would win. And so that's the fear with the NCAA is Sankey can view this as a bad thing. And by the way, it is. It's not a good thing to have these guys gambling on professional sports, but it's probably not good for anyone to gamble on professional sports. But
hey,
the beauty of America is you have the freedom to do that. And as an NCAA athlete, you get to do that.
Yeah, it says the Division I board voted to delay the effective date of the sports betting legislation change to November 22nd. Which is one day after the close of a membership recession period.
Yeah.
D1 rules afford 30 days for each D1 school to vote to rescind a proposal if it is adopted by less than 75% majority of the Division I cabinet.
Yeah.
So they may not allow it.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, you're right. They shouldn't, because God, these kids, they do.
But again, you thinking that a kid isn't able to handle something is not legal grounds to tell someone that they can't do it. This is what the NCAA has said all along: is the kids can't handle the money. It's not up to you to decide whether or not a kid can handle something or not. If you want that, make them employees, get them to sign a contract. But the NCAA refuses to do that. So just get ready to lose in court. I hope Jeffrey Kessler, who's the lawyer that sues the NCAA, I hope he files a lawsuit on behalf of someone just to do it. Just to tell the NCAA to go F themselves one more time.
Blue Jays will be without George Springer tonight.
Yeah. Is it an oblique?
Because he had a swing.
He took a swing and then he was kind of, I call that the back fat. I think we've all pulled a back fat before. You know, you don't know what it is, but it's like you pull a love handle. And Springer's a little long in the tooth. So it looks like he tweaked a love handle.
Yeah, so he's not in there tonight.
Yeah.
So that hurts them a little bit. That game's about to get underway, by the way. We've got some moves in the NFC West. You know, the Niners are 32nd out of 32 in pressure percentage this year.
Well, everyone's hurt.
Yeah,
and yet they're playing their ass off. Robert Saleh has made a huge difference, but they're just so shorthanded.
Well, they're 5-3.
Yeah,
they got no pressure on CJ Stroud.
No.
On Sunday. So
Stroud, by the way, had a monster game, and God, he needed it, because there was some talk about what was wrong with that guy.
They just traded for Keon White.
Yeah.
From the Patriots.
So he was a second round pick in New England that just hasn't worked out, and they thought that maybe Vrabel would come in and kind of light a fire, and it just hasn't happened. So they swap 6th and 7th, and the Niners get to take a look at a guy who supremely talented, coming out of college. He just never could figure it out there in New England. And that's, you know, the Niners, by the way, have made a living off of taking flyers off of guys like this. And, you know, it's in there. You just got to find a way to get it out of them.
The Rams also traded for cornerback Roger McCreary from the Titans.
Yeah. So what you're seeing is, and that one is more of a, the Titans aren't going anywhere, although they say that they're not going to have a fire sale. But my guess is if you want to get someone out of Tennessee, you can get one out of Tennessee right about now.
So some reinforcements in the NFC West. Good little division.
Yeah.
This year.
I still think it's the Rams division. The Rams, to me, are head and shoulders better than everyone in that division, but the Niners
are already 3-0 in the division.
Yep. The Niners are scrappy, and, you know, Seattle's sitting there at 5-2, and, you know, I still think with Sam Darnold, there was always going to be that doubt, because look what happened in Minnesota, but, you know, when you look at Seattle's schedule, Seattle's going to win 11-12 games. The Seahawks defense is legit, and Sam Darnold is having another really nice year. It's just that he's Sam Darnold, and people are going to be skeptical until he does it in the postseason.
So who do you have more faith in, the Niners or the Seahawks?
Seahawks.
Considering there's the injuries.
Yeah, there's just, you can't. Like,
well, they'll get Purdy back.
They'll get Purdy back, but still, at some point, they're just, and by the way, and that's saying that everyone's going to remain healthy. I'm still waiting for Christian McCaffrey to blow an Achilles. They're just eventually the injuries are built up too much. This is like what happened with the Lions last year. And while I really respect what the Niners are doing, they're just that's too much. It's too much to overcome. So I think the Rams are the class of that division. I think they win that division. I think the Rams can be a Super Bowl team. But if two teams are going to make the postseason out of that, I would take Seattle over San Francisco. And the Seahawks schedule is paper soft. Now, you do get the Commanders.
Well, the Niners is too. Don't the Niners have, like, historically easy schedule?
It's pretty soft. But when I look at what the Hawks have, they're at the Commies, and Daniels should be back on that, and that's interesting. But then the Cardinals, Rams, Titans, Vikings, Falcons, there's the Colts, Rams, and they finish with the Panthers and the Niners. That last game of the year in San Francisco, that's going to be a monster game. Because remember, the Niners got the one early in the year that Seattle should have won. That game at the end of the year could have huge implications.
Yeah, they basically have the same schedule.
Yeah,
you know,
they're both very soft.
So they've got the Niners have the Giants, then the Rams and Cards, but then they play Carolina,
yeah,
Cleveland, Tennessee. God.
Yeah.
They do have to go to Indy, and then they get the Bears.
Yeah. So it's
before the Hawks.
It's going to be a fun stretch run here for these two teams.
And we have another quarterback benching, Jace.
Yeah.
I know you didn't see this coming. It's tough. But Spencer Rattler
has been sat.
Has been sat.
He sucks.
You know,
boy, he does suck.
Well, again.
he is terrible.
He is not good. I will say at the start of the
catch.
Yeah, that was a great catch by Kiki Hernandez. Wow. At the start of the year, I thought Rattler was doing some things that were okay. Their biggest problem was not Spencer Rattler, but
yeah,
you know.
Well, look,
that team's going nowhere fast.
The Tyler Shuck era has begun.
Yeah. The era has indeed begun.
The era has become.
Dude, that whole thing, it's whatever. They're 1-7, and
the era has become.
At this point, you're just playing for next year's quarterback, because the future of the New Orleans Saints is not on this roster right now.
And
although it's going to be a weird year, because right now, I don't know. I mean, you got Mendoza. If Dante Moore comes out, there is not a. This was supposed to be viewed as a good NFL quarterback class.
Simpson?
Yeah, Ty Simpson could be the number one guy. There just is not a lot of there's not a lot of juice. This went from supposedly being this elite class with Drew Aller and Nussmeier and Arch Manning and Lenora Sellers. And now you're kind of like, flip a coin. Like, is it Dante Moore if he comes out? Is it Fernando Mendoza? Is it Sellers?
Diego Pavia.
No. That will not be the that
So
will not
Mendoza
be the case.
Is the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman.
Yeah, and he is certainly in the contention to be the number one overall.
He's plus 300. Ty Simpson is next.
Climbing ranks.
Plus 340. Again, this is Heisman. This isn't number one pick, but Julian Sayin, plus 350. He is pro.
Yeah, but he's young.
He's young.
Yeah. He's young. But yeah, he's looking the part.
Marcell Reed.
Yeah, that he
plus
is not,
500.
He is not an NFL guy, at least right now.
You have Diego Pavia, plus 800. Dante Moore all the way down to plus 5,000.
Yeah.
How a couple of weeks can hurt you.
Yeah, the Indiana game, and then he didn't look great in the bad weather. Yeah, it's that it is so strange how that happens, right? You're trucking along and you have a blip on the radar, and next thing you know, we kind of cast you aside. And this does feel like, by the way, this is going to be a year that the Heisman Trophy is going to be forgotten. Like, you have these, like, Jason White won one, Gino Toretta. I think RG3, like when he won his, there's just years where the Heisman Trophy is like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. And then other years we were like, I don't know, we got to give it to someone. This feels like we're just going to give it to someone. Like if Ty Simpson wins it, and I like Ty Simpson and I think he's done a great job, but if Ty Simpson wins it, you're going to be like, oh, well, it's Ty Simpson.
John Mateer, by the way, now at plus 7,500.
Yeah.
And he looked like he'd be in New York for sure.
Yep. And it just hasn't quite worked out for that offense.
Not so much.
Nope.
All right, coming up next, let's get to our NFL sub and stuff. How do the Eagles keep getting calls on the tush push? This is absurd.
Yeah.
And let's talk about expedited review.
Let's do it.
I'd like to talk about that here on Sports Show. This is 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the NFL weekend was not great.
No.
It was, except for my Jets.
Who would have thought that of all things, that comeback with our Jets and Justin Fields would have been the game of the week?
Oh, they're now our Jets.
Yeah, our Jets. Come on.
Yeah, it was apparently a great comeback, but no one really saw it because we weren't watching that game. But, you know, yeah, the Jets won. About time. Aaron Glenn's all fired up now. And, you know, they'll probably not win another one. But
you know. That's what we're getting. Ah, well, you know.
I mean, it was kind of a cool scene in the locker room.
Well, I mean, after the game, the owner calls out Fields and, you know, by all accounts, Justin Fields is a good guy. He's a good teammate. He cares. He plays his ass off. He's just not very good. And I feel for guys like that.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, they did not make a quarterback change.
No, they did not.
Because I think Taylor was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
But the Jets won anyway. They dropped 39 on the crappy-ass Bengals.
Yeah, who would have thought you could score 38 against the Jets and lose?
Outside of that, I don't think there was another underdog that covered. All the all the favorites won and won big.
Kind of won big, yeah. I don't really remember another.
It was a mess.
Scrolling through. Well, were the Dolphins an underdog?
Yes.
Because the Dolphins blew out the Falcons in one of the That's more puzzling. Right.
There's your two undies.
Speaking of a team that you just, either one of those, I don't know what to make of the Dolphins or the Falcons for that matter.
Boy, that's, yeah. It's like, who's better?
I don't.
Well, the Dolphins just bitch slapped them, so you got to say the Dolphins are better.
2-6 versus 3-4.
And they're the same team.
They're the same team.
Miami's better, though, right? They just beat them.
The Falcons are a better team.
No,
they are.
No, they're not.
They are.
Atlanta sucks.
They do suck, but they're better
No,
than
I
Miami.
Don't think so. I think Miami's fine.
Well, 34-10. So you're on to something. Neither one of those teams is good.
You know, the guy for the Falcons, what's his nuts? Good old what's his nuts?
Oh, are you talking about Cousins? Because he
played. No, the coach. I always forget his name.
Oh, Morris.
What's his nuts? Raheem Morris?
Yes.
He sucks.
I love the patented Isaac Rob. He sucks.
Well, he does.
It's not going well.
He's not a good head coach.
They have pieces, and there's moments where they look good, and then they go out and they do that. I honestly, Atlanta is...
They lost 30-0 to the Panthers.
Yes.
Enough said.
Atlanta is bizarre. But they also housed the Bills. They took care of the Commanders. They've beaten the Vikings. They lost a close one at the beginning of the year to the Buccaneers. Yeah, the Panther one is the most puzzling game entire year.
They don't have a quarterback either.
Well, yeah.
They really don't.
I feel like panics right now. There are some quarterbacks that early on showed some flashes, and then you kind of pump the brakes on them. I think there are a handful of teams right now, and I'll throw Chicago into this mix. I'll throw Minnesota into this mix. Certainly Atlanta, where you drafted a guy believing that was the franchise, and you're not ready to say that any of them are not. But I think there are valid and real concerns at all three of those places that in a year or two, you're going to have a tough conversation about what do we do going forward. Whereas Bo Nix may not be elite. Denver feels good. New England might have the next star of the league because Drake May and Josh McDaniels are making sweet, sweet football love. And then there's other places like Tua and Murray in Arizona that you already gave the money to. And I feel like both of those right now maybe regret the decision to pay those guys because they don't appear to be the guys. Oh, and then throw Bryce Young in it, who's about ready to be replaced because Carolina will draft another quarterback.
One of the other blowouts was Eagles over Gigantes. Yeah. Cam Scataboo, done for the year.
Busted ankle.
The CTE gremlin going away for a while.
Yeah, and you knew, by the way, that after that game where the Giants nicked the Eagles, you knew the Eagles were going to come back and put an ass whooping on them. And they did. The Giants are not a good football team. They got some life. Scataboo had something going and Jackson Dart looks promising, but the Philadelphia Eagles are so much better than the Giants. And they went out and improved it and stomped a mud hole.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing from that game was they got another freaking inexplicable tush push call where Kayvon Thibodeau, like if you didn't see it, Hurts extended the ball like it was the goal line.
Yes.
And he was not down because he's on top of his big uglies.
Yes.
And Kayvon Thibodeau came in before the whistle.
Knocked it away.
He just ripped it out of his hands.
I don't know how that's not a turnover.
And they called it. What'd they even call?
They said once the forward progress is done, that's the end of it. But I didn't hear the whistle. I'm with
absolute
you.
Bull crap. Dude, they got hosed. And Thibodeau, they all knew it. Knew it. I mean, they got blown out in the game anyway. But yeah. Thibodeau knew it. Daboll knew it. And I think everyone watching knew it. I don't understand why the Eagles keep getting the calls.
It is that apparently, according to the NFL, that was Roger Goodell, I believe. He talked about, he basically said that it's the hardest play to officiate.
Roger Goodell.
And they say that they're going to look at it, but there is, and I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's because it's just such a scrum that the officials don't want to call anything, But this is now the if the tush push ever gets banned, it's not going to be because it's so effective and it's not a real football play. It's going to be because of this, because officials seemingly can't.
But that was not a hard call.
It doesn't appear so. But if they deemed his forward progress done, then he is indeed done. And that and once the official says that, although, you know, I didn't hear the whistle, but once they deem it done, then there is no more play. And supposedly, I think that's what was said, is they said forward progress was over and he's done.
I'm calling shenanigans. That was really early, and the whistle hadn't blown.
Well, the problem that I have with it is too many times in these situations where a guy's laying on top of others, they allow him to extend the ball and score a touchdown.
Exactly.
So if you're going to allow him to lean forward on top of his guys, why isn't the defender allowed to knock the ball away and rip it out?
Yeah.
But I feel like that. I feel like the offense gets that the benefit of the doubt on that a lot of times.
I don't know why you would extend the ball like that unless you were on the goal line. Like, you got to be careful even on the goal line extending the ball.
Getting it knocked away. Because if it gets knocked...
If it gets knocked out before it crosses, you're in trouble.
That happened to someone this year. I'm trying to remember who it was. But some quarterback did that at the goal line and got it swatted away. So it does happen.
Yeah, those guys are going to get the ball if you're extending it.
Yes.
And all you have is...
So the only way that makes sense is at the goal line. Because once it passes the imaginary line, then the play's over. But when you're, like, reaching for a first down or whatever, dude, that's a live ball that can be ripped away. I'm so with you.
Hey, Shohei, they pitched to him.
Yeah, and they walked him.
Well, he walked.
Yes.
He drew a walk.
But they did walk.
They nibbled at him.
It was 3-2.
Yes.
Bieber was trying to get him out.
Yes. It was a close pitch, but yes. And then Mookie Betts flied out, which is what Mookie Betts has been doing.
So he has now walked. Yeah, Betts is you want to talk about a guy who sucked? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. He's awesome, but he's struggling.
So is that
in the
six straight walks for Otani?
Six straight walks, intentional or otherwise. prior to that, it was 7-for-7 with 5 home runs at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, yeah, he is in a bit of what would you call it? A heater right now. He's in the zone, and so far, you know that. You know, the intentional walk thing hasn't necessarily killed the Giants. It's upon Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts.
The Jays.
The Jays, yeah. It's upon Freeman and Betts to make him pay. Yeah, I'm also surprised that they're not running Otani more. If they're going to walk him.
Yeah, he's not running.
No.
Well, he's also pitching.
That's true.
But I was surprised maybe they didn't flip Betts and Freeman. Like, put Freeman right behind Otani.
I didn't see if that does something.
I don't know. I'm sure he has a much better reason for putting Betts right behind Otani, but Betts isn't doing anything.
No.
And Freeman's doing everything.
The other one, too, is remember Otani, some people were wondering if he had like a leg strain or something. Remember earlier they caught him kind of stretching out. It might be one of those, too, that you're not willing to risk him pulling a hammy or something while he's running.
All right. More NFL sub and stuff coming up next. We'll talk about the expedited review and could changes be coming to the onside kick. Next, here's Schultz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So they were talking, well, it was a few games. I can never remember which game I'm watching where they use it, but I think it was Steelers and Packers was one of them, where they go to the expedited review,
yeah,
which is the in-house review, mm-hmm. as opposed to the New York City review or whatever. Yeah. Why can't they use the expedited review on every review?
Because they have to be immediately clear and obvious. So every review is handled in-house, and it's only if they buzz down immediately and are like, yeah, we have the view of it 100%, and then they can do that.
So if in-house they're saying, we don't really know,
no, the in-house,
they have to farm it out?
The in-house will say, hey, this is close, and then they go to all the New York, because New York has all the different views, and they have all the different eyeballs on it and everything. The in-house, I'm guessing, is just off of the one or two, like the camera feed, immediately. And because sometimes you look at something and, you know, like they rule an interception, whatever, and you see one view and it clearly skips the ground, they can just eliminate all that and they buzz down and they're like, no, incomplete, let it go. Whereas if it's really close and we're like, you know, hey, it hit the ground, but his hands were underneath it, or was it moving when it was going out of bounds? Then that stuff goes to New York and they really dig through it with a fine tooth comb.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know what it would cost them to make that happen quicker in-house, but they should do that. But because that expedited review is fantastic.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of cost. It's some plays lend itself to that and others don't. Some review calls are not.
Well, then that's even easier if it's not about cost, because I thought you were saying it's all about the angles and all, they have more to work with in New York.
Yep.
Just make sure that in-house they have the same stuff to work with.
Yeah, but when you have when a play, it's not a matter of having the resources. The point is, when a play is so close that you have to make sure that you're looking at it from 10 different angles, that's when it goes to New York and you put everything up. Some plays are just so simple that one or two views in-house looking at it, you can look at it and be like, no, that he clearly was out, he clearly was in.
What I'm saying is, even on the more difficult plays,
yeah,
they should be, and I get it will take longer. I'm not saying that every review should take 10 seconds, but even on the more difficult plays, why does it have to be in New York? Why can't they just take longer for the...
I think because there's not a setup in-house in order to do
it. Well, and that's where I go back to cost. Like, set it up in-house so that they could do it. It would seem to me that they could make reviews a lot faster.
But it, I don't,
not all of them.
I don't think going to New York takes any longer. I mean, it's people looking at monitors in the stadium or people looking at monitors in New York. It's all the same time. It just comes down to when you see the one in New York, they have every screen, every angle, and you have multiple eyeballs. In fact, when there's a complex review, I'm guessing going to New York actually speeds up the process.
But then he has to go over there and talk to him.
Yeah.
And he has to get under the hood.
Yeah, that's it. But he's under the hood talking to the people. They're all looking at the same thing and they're having conversations. He's hearing the people in New York having that conversation.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just, you're right.
It's just a thought. As I watch football, that expedited review is great.
Yes.
Because in college especially, dude, those reviews are nauseatingly long.
Yes.
It's obnoxious. Yeah. And the NFL, they can be too. It's just, are they, I guess the question is, are they efficient enough with reviews? And if they're not, and there's room to get more efficient with them, they should do that because it helps the viewing experience.
The problem will always be, at what point do you sacrifice the right call for speed? And, you know, there's some people that don't want them at all. There's some people that want to go with the on-field call, but the first time you're, because sometimes it's the call's made on the field and it clearly is wrong. So there's some people that say, well, coaches should have five challenges. And then after that, like you only get five, there's going to be five replays and that's it. You know, and now with the last 2 minutes, you're right, that's all on field. Every scoring play is reviewed. The NFL has made it a point to get it right. And they sacrifice some speed, and they're trying to make it as efficient as they can. But they have clearly determined that getting the call right is more important than having it be fast.
And I agree with that. But, again, maybe they could be more efficient with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not on the inside, man. Or am I?
Would you like
Am I working for Commissioner Goodall now?
Would you be the guy that's like, you know what? Close enough. I don't care. This is good.
I do that at home. Like, look, they should just put a headset on me.
Rob's like, I got it.
Because I'll be like, oh, that's not a catch.
I mean, personally, I wish they would just make it a little easier and go back to the college rules. For in the NFL, it would be only 1 foot's necessary as opposed to two. I feel like that's one of the huge hangups in the professional game. Like, it seems so much easier in college. It's like, catch, done. But that's like one of the biggest arguments, I feel like.
The
for
two
NFL
feetsies?
Games. Yeah. Two feetsies v1. I think that would make NFL football a hell of a lot better and eliminate half of the reviews that we're talking about.
Whoa.
That's just me.
I don't get that.
Why?
Because I don't think that's the problem. I just think in college, everything in college is so effing slow.
Yes, because they do not have the infrastructure that the NFL has.
They don't, but the officials are also very slow on how many times, and this isn't even review.
Yeah.
This drives me insane. And I know I'm nitpicking here, but how many times do you see an official?
Yeah.
You see the flag.
Uh-huh.
Even on the broadcast, they're saying what it is.
Yeah.
The officials talk, and the guy starts walking up to announce the review, and then he stops, and then he looks back, and he's double-checking something with the other official. God, that drives me insane.
Probably checking numbers.
Rob, get your ass together.
Rob wants speed golf out there. This
No,
this,
I want efficiency.
I picture Rob just going, pace of play, pace of play.
Well, yes.
Move it along.
Some of these officials move like sloths. Dude, I get it. You're trying to get it right, but have a modicum of efficiency to it.
You want a pitch clock sort of thing on the officials.
Yes.
Some chutzpah behind it.
And I tell you, some are better than others. Yeah. The NFL guys are really good.
Yeah.
Like, they're fast as S.
Yes.
The college guys are not.
Well, again, the NFL has to have, not even 16, but 15 games a week. And
well, some of it's training too.
Some of it's training.
You can train those college officials.
Collegiate officials. There's not enough good NFL officials, and there's not enough good. You need so many good collegiate officials. And honestly, I think some collegiate officials are embarrassingly bad. Some of them have clear built-in biases. Certainly with conferences and certain teams. I think if you really dug into college officials, I think you'd be shocked at the number of people that probably shouldn't be officiating major college football games, but they don't have a choice because there's just not, no one wants to do it.
Yeah.
Aren't they part-time too in college?
Everyone's part-time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The NFL officials are part-time.
Yeah. I mean, they make good money though.
Like, really.
Really?
No.
They have other jobs.
Yeah.
They're usually rich guys. And have you noticed?
Yikes.
Have you noticed that NFL officials are all of them are jacked now?
Yeah.
Well, because now it's on TV, and like you want to look.
Ed Hockley.
It's TRT, man.
He's like the Tiger Woods of NFL refs. Meanwhile, the college guys are all still fat dads.
Yeah, the SEC, the highest official with the the most seniority, they make about $2,000 to $2,500 a game. Which is good money, but when you consider you do,
Know, they pay for the travel or?
Yeah, I would assume that they pay for their travel.
Fly you there.
Yeah,
you make 25. I mean,
Yeah, you do it 12 times a year, right? You know, a couple extra, but.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking online here. NFL officials, they shouldn't need an extra job. Even just starting out, you can make $150,000 to $200,000 according to AI.
Yeah, so. That's not.
But that's like
Schultzy. There's like
four months out of the year.
There's like restaurant managers that make more than that. Like that's not a.
That's well, and why would you not have another job?
That's a $9 billion league, and you've got officials there that are a crucial part of it. And you're telling me that they're making $150,000, and Schultz's like, well, seems good.
Well,
and
what are MLB umpires making?
And therein lies the rub that the NFL PA has with it. Is they're like, here are these, we're a $9 billion a year plus league, and we have, you know, look at like, we got $70 million quarterbacks. Everything in the NFL is super expensive. And the one thing you've decided to be cheap on, the one position that you've decided to be, Roger Goodell makes like $60 million a year, and yet you won't hire full-time officials that train year round. I mean, pay these guys $500,000 a year. It's a drop in the bucket. Get them year round training, put as much resources into it, because the officials, of all the stuff that happens, the officials have a bigger outcome on the games than anything other than the players and the coaches. And it's the one thing that the NFL, no offense, is spending $150,000 to $200,000 a year on each official. That's embarrassing.
I mean, I agree it's embarrassing. At the same time, I mean, they're getting away with it. And aren't the refs all union now? Don't they have their own union?
Yeah, they have their own union.
Well, yeah. So NBA, it's all collectively bargained. So
NBA refs don't make that much. That's just, I don't understand where this is coming from. Like, they need to make a ton more money. The going rate for reffing sports in the pros is anywhere from 150 to, like, I think for baseball you can get up to over 400. But
and I think,
well, there's a lot more games too. I think the thing about it is the NFL, I mean, if you pay these guys more than they're making, I mean, $150,000, if you think about it,
that's a good salary, right?
Is good. And I think if I'm the NFL, I'm like, well, what else am I paying you for? Like, you're, this is all you do is officiate these games. There's only, how many of them do they do a year? Does each one of them do 16 a year or 17 a year?
That would be my guess.
I mean,
hell, 10,000 a game? And per diem? Well, and yeah. Travel expenses?
Yeah, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is the NFL could justify saying they're worth more, but what do they do for more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how companies think.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. You work for Odyssey.
I'm just saying, in a league where an assistant tight ends coach is making $300,000 a year, you're paying, again, you just got done, Rob, bitching for 10 straight minutes about officials.
Oh, it was six.
And we all love maybe to bitch, five. And we all love to bitch about officials, and yet the NFL is... This is the one area that
the
NFL is trying to save a buck.
Suk, I actually disagree with you, and I don't think NFL tight end coaches, even the assistants, they're not the head, like, just position player coach, they're maybe making 100-150.
You are so far out in left field, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Really?
You really think, I'm just, stop. Okay. You really think that a manager at a restaurant is making more than the quarterback's coach of the San Francisco 49ers?
Not the quarterback's coach, but like
that's a position coach.
Okay. The quarterback's coach is probably one of the highest paid ones, really, but like a tight end or an assistant?
You think NFL coaches yes, are making 100 grand
a year?
Some
of them out there are making low six-figure money, or I bet you, even five-figure money. So I would bet you the house I don't own on that.
You have no idea what you're talking about. None.
Okay. All right.
None.
I'm scared. Right.
I'm wrong.
I'm scared.
I'll admit it.
I'm scared. Well, what I would say is, the NFL, the league, I guess my point is the NFL officials are really good.
I would like to, oh, never mind. Go.
Well, to get what you pay for, they're getting, like, I did spend 6 minutes, not 10, bitching about officials, but it was more the college. Like, I think the NFL guys are really good.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of working, like the balance is working. I don't disagree that they should make more because they're a big part of it, but I think they do a good job and they're collectively bargained. So, I mean, that's what they agreed to. Like, if this is really egregious, then they should hold out and then see what happens. Because if we get replacement officials, it's going to look a lot worse.
Yeah.
And in that instance, then maybe they have a leg to stand on. I just don't know why they wouldn't do that if it's so egregious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, these are human beings that are working for $150,000. For 3 months. I mean, they have, and that's the other thing, in their lives, there's not other duties. Like a position coach, that's a full-time job,
yeah,
right? Like, there are always duties. It's a daily thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm not sure officiating outside of the season is. So they have, you know, however many more months to go and I think some of them are like lawyers and
yeah,
like they're guys that that's the other thing the NFL has over them is these are all guys that sort of have the time and resources to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's the guys that they get.
Yeah.
So it kind of, to me, it kind of seems like the system works.
Yeah.
Like the officials are good. The league is good. I mean, it does seem like they should be making more considering how important they are. But at the same time, that's what they agreed to. So it's like, yeah. And everything's working. So yeah. Why is it bad?
I just think the NFL has said multiple times, the NFL players are saying, if you hired guys year round and you gave them year round training, how much better would it get? The idea that you have a part-time employee working the most important part of a football game other than the players, to some people, rubs them the wrong way. But you're right. I mean, there is a union. It's collectively bargained and all that. But it is odd that in a league full of that much money, that is a part-time position. And I think some of the head officials now might be full-time. And I'd have to look that up, but I think maybe the last time they signed an agreement, they may have made a couple of them that are like kind of the head of the refs union. Maybe they're full time, but most of them are not.
I feel like the NFL preys on people who want to be associated with the NFL.
Sure.
Like I think that's the point that I'm making. Yeah.
They have guys like the chain crew, all those guys. None of those guys are paid.
Yeah.
Well, I say none of them.
No.
I'm saying.
Yeah, they're volunteers.
Like, they're all volunteers because they think it's cool to be on the sideline and get a front row seat to a football game, you know, and do their... The NFL has some of that, too, where it's like... And, you know, to some extent, I hate to bring Odyssey back into this, but radio has some of that.
Sure.
There are people that just want to do this job, and the company knows that. And so it's like, all right, here's a couple shekels. You know?
I just think there's...
Can't find you anymore.
Yeah, there's just areas to cut corners, and I just have never understood the idea of the NFL owners that waste so much money on God knows what, and yet somehow with the officials, they seem to be hell-bent on trying to save a few bucks, but, you know, it's just...
Well, they're all ripped now,
yes.
Which I think is cool, and the college refs, to surmise, need to work on their bodies and their efficiency, and their time... management.
Got to get on that TRT. They need that Ed Ogeron program. Get that red, swollen, veiny thing happening.
Yeah, he does. He kind of looks like an official.
Yeah, he does.
All right. Onside kick change is coming. That'll be next on The Fan. All right, so now I'm going off about Ohtani again.
You go from NFL officials.
God!
Well, with expedited replays.
Yes.
To NFL officials, to college officials, and now you're back on.
I'm back on Ohtani.
You're back on Ohtani.
Dude, he's going to shut them out.
You are squirreling so hard today. It's great.
Wait.
Are you okay?
Let's wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's in the third. He's mowing them down. Is he going to freaking shut them out?
For $750 million, he should have gotten a billion and a half.
A billion.
Are you going to
pay him $2 billion?
Is your first tattoo going to be Ohtani's face on your ass cheek?
Ooh.
You are on board.
I just am running out of ways to describe this man.
You should come over sometime and have an Ohtani watch party with the BTJ.
Oh, he gave up a hit.
He's a bum.
Never mind, he sucks.
Loser. Oh, he sucks.
But I mean,
let's preemptively
look at tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
It's possible that we come on here and have to describe what he just did, which is an 18-inning game where he goes 4-for-4 with 2 home runs, including the game-tying home run in the 7th. And he's so good that the other team is like, screw it, we don't have a pitcher who can pitch to him. We'll walk him 5 times. Yeah. Sleeps for... How much sleep do you think he got? You think he gets 8 hours?
Oh,
6 hours?
Yeah, something like that. I'll bet you he was a little wound up.
And then he turns around the next day and is not only hitting again, and they still won't pitch to him, but he throws an effing shutout. Are you in the World Series? Are you kidding me?
I will say that there has never been anything in my life quite like Shohei Ohtani. I mean, we've seen, like, Deion Sanders playing in an NFL game and in the World Series was pretty cool. Like, that's... Remember, he was taking the whole helicopter. That's pretty special.
That was cool.
But he certainly wasn't playing baseball at this level. What Ohtani's doing, he was playing DB at a ridiculously high level. But yeah, this is in rarefied territory.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, I haven't seen anyone get the Barry Bonds treatment before, other than big head Barry Bonds. And yet here we are, seemingly minus steroids, and he's getting it, and he's getting to pitch.
Yeah. So what if we had Barry Bonds the next day?
Yeah, throwing
heat. throwing heat missiles and tossing a shutout. I mean,
after a second Tommy John surgery.
Anyway,
yeah,
I'm just preparing you for tomorrow.
And now this will be what, 4 MVPs in 6 seasons, I think, for Ohtani, because he's going to win it.
Nah, I don't know.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, unless he falls off a cliff and gets hurt, you are watching someone write one of the greatest resumes in Major League Baseball history. You will see that when it's all said and done.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Vladdy took him out.
Yeah.
Never mind. He sucks. Yeah. He just gave up a home run. Okay, so we're good.
So we're fine.
Tomorrow we don't have to talk about
this. He's mortal.
Yeah. Vladdy finally did something. Okay. So onside kick.
Someone said I made Vlad do that. Literally someone sent in a text saying, hey, Vlad, do something. And then like 30 seconds later.
Yeah, he did.
So someone said, I made Vlad do that.
Somebody's got some money on the Blue Jays.
He pulled the Monty Burns. Hey, Strawberry, you hit a home run. I told him to do that.
So I watched the onside kick, the Steelers and Packers. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I don't know. The onside kick percentage, recovery percentage, by the kicking team is down to 4.7%.
Yes, it's basically impossible.
Success rate. It used to be, or the NFL wants it at, 12%.
Okay.
So once they changed the rule, it's dropped basically 7%.
They wanted it 12? I would think they'd maybe want it more like 20. Saying 12, huh?
No, they're saying 12.
Huh.
Man, they made it so hard, too. That's weird.
Well, now they've made it. So yes. It's one of, they said one of 21, I think, this year.
Well, and you can no longer...
Yeah,
you can no longer surprise on kick on side. You right. have to like the Super Bowl, the Saints and the Colts. That game swung on a surprise onside kick. You cannot do that anymore. You have to declare your intention.
So there's two ideas. So the NFL is looking at this. They know, and this is what I like about the NFL. If they see a problem, they'll fix it,
yeah.
And they'll fix it fast.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones even came out and said they're going to meet about this, and. They have two ideas. One is, so the players can't move until the ball's kicked.
Yes.
That's what killed the onside kick. Mm-hmm. They're now saying they want to possibly move the players to the 37-yard line. So give them, even though they still have to wait until the ball is kicked, move them up 2 yards.
Okay.
So they don't have to run as far to...
But only on the onside kick?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think so. Maybe not. I don't know. It's a good question.
2 yards, I guess. I mean, they're saying that just closes the distance.
Yeah, closes the distance. Maybe they can get to the ball faster.
I still think they need to go to the nuke option, which is the fourth and
yeah. You know, so whatever, that 50. That's the other idea they're discussing, and it would be fourth. Actually, what they're saying is, so I think the Eagles or whomever proposed 4th and 15.
I believe that was the number. Yes,
but the NFL countered with, well, it really should be 4th and 17, because 4th and 17. The percentage, the success rate is at 12, okay. And that's what they want.
Sure.
So they were saying 4th and 17, and then if you get that, so in other words, if, let's say, so it was Pittsburgh was losing, they score, they cut it to 10, they have to onside kick. Instead of onside kicking, that's not even an option anymore. You get the ball, I don't know what yard line, but you get the ball for a 1 4th and 17 play. If you get it, you then keep the ball.
Yeah.
If you don't, obviously it goes to the other team. The only thing, I think that's exciting, honestly.
Yeah. I would be on board with that.
And, I mean, again, if you say, well, that's too easy. Well, again, the numbers show it's 12% success rate over time. Onside kicks, that's where they were, 12%. So it's kind of the same thing. The only thing I don't like about it is PI. Yeah. You know, like you could get a real ticky-tack
hold.
Call.
Happens all the time. Automatic first down.
Well, even the hold. Yeah, I didn't even think about the hold.
Yeah, because
that's a 5-yarder.
5-yarder,
but it's an auto
illegal
first.
Contact, any of that stuff.
So I just wonder if they would maybe, they would have to change some of that.
Well, you can't, I mean, you couldn't, like.
For that play?
I mean, you couldn't have it, because if you did change it, I mean, then you're basically telling the defense, dude, you can just mug whoever you want. If you say it's no longer an automatic first down, I mean, the only thing you could do is say, if there's a penalty, you have to redo the play. But then again, you're telling the defense, just if you're beat, just grab the guy and throw him down. I don't know how you would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a normal play. You're going to have normal rules associated with it. That's just going to come with the territory.
I just don't love the 4th and 17 because of that.
Mm.
Not that I wouldn't. I think it would be exciting.
I just
as
think
a
if
viewer.
You want the most exciting play in football to mean something. Instead of having some anonymous kicker kick it at 4%, Give me Josh Allen on the field. Give me Pat Mahomes, and you've got 4th and 17. Let's go. I just think that would make the onside kick, or in this case, it wouldn't be the onside kick. It'd be the onside fourth down. It would make the end of games way more interesting.
I'd be on board with this. As a viewer, I think it would be great. And that's really how I look at it. Yeah. I mean, it's entertainment value. Yes. And that's really all it is. But I do think, too, that would... I mean, some teams are going to be way better at getting those than other teams.
Yes.
It's not 12% when you're Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
No.
But if you have Marcus Mariota back, you know...
Makes a difference.
It's a huge difference as opposed to the...
But you could say that, too, with depending on who your kicker is. And,
But that's its own unit. That's a unit that's what they do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird one. I don't know what the right answer is.
Well,
I'd still like to see an onside kick. I think onside kicks are kind of fun,
but you
need a higher success.
Yes,
rate.
What they've done here to the onside kick is just it's there's just no hope of it. There just isn't. 4%. I mean, come on.
Why did they make that change 15, 20 years ago? I just never understood why.
They changed the kickoff rule.
They can still try to surprise you with an onside kick. But the NFL said no. There was no reason that they had to eliminate that.
Because you can't, the way it's set up now, I don't know how you could do it because the players
Well, now, can't. Yes, yeah. But this was, a year or two ago? Like, the way that we do onside kicks now, I mean, that was changed a decade ago.
Yeah, well, they changed it when you could no longer overload one side.
Yeah.
That's how you used to be able to get them, but they didn't want that because those are, like, horrendous car crashes. Because what you would have is you'd have the first wave of people not trying to recover the ball. You'd have the first wave of people just blowing people up. So you got like three guys up there trying to high point a ball off a bounce, and you got four heat-seeking missiles, and they're not trying to get the ball. They're just trying to take your head off. And so like the NFL, for whatever you think of it, as far as their safety is concerned, and how, if they actually care, they don't want to see people getting laid out. And it is a proven fact that concussions and injuries are more common on these sorts of plays. And the NFL loves to tout now the statistics that concussions are down, serious injuries are down, all this stuff. So, you know,
what about an impromptu Hail Mary?
I suppose you could do that from like the 40. If you wanted to make it the most exciting play in football,
yeah,
do that.
Then you'd have Hail Mary coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's another play that again, does not get officiated correctly. Like, all rules go out the window on a Hail Mary. When is the last time, they struck Otani out?
Dude.
That's the first time, I think, in 14 plate appearances, 15, that he hasn't been on base.
All it took was for me to start gushing about Otani.
Yes.
For him to suck.
So he gave up a 2-run home run, and now he struck out. So Shohei Otani.
I hope he doesn't stroke out.
He strokes out. He's done. He sucks. But yeah, the Hail Mary, when's the last time a pass interference was called on a Hail Mary? And if you look, a pass interference is every single play on a Hail Mary.
But then why wouldn't I think the offense, see, this is why they need me as a Hail Mary coach. If I'm an offensive guy, I'm like, dude, you're a DB.
Yeah.
Pull his pants down or like mug him. Yeah. Seriously, mug him.
Yeah. I mean, when you watch that scrum, there is so much illegal contact. There are so many people grabbing and holding. I've never seen a flag called. And that's kind of the same thing with the tush push. They just don't call penalties on those plays. We just kind of look the other way and we're like, well, here's the result of it. See what's there.
All right, we'll have more NFL tomorrow when we get into our NFL Wednesday wasabi. Okay, guys? So you're just going to have to tune in tomorrow for more.
I do like a good wasabi.
Yeah. Up next, have you seen what's going on with dear old Melissa?
Melissa?
Yeah.
Who's Melissa?
I'm going to tell you.
I need to know Melissa. I don't know her.
She's a big old bitch.
Oh, boy.
That's next in the club on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. and the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.